Today, I want to share with you a Christmas story that I believe that you're going to be blessed by it. And the title of the sermon today is, What's Better Than Angels? What's Better Than Angels? So, the visitation of angels, we see three separate occurrences around the Christmas story. We see Joseph, and we see Mary, and we see the shepherds. So, we're going to look at them today just for a little bit. So, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do you not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for which is conceived as heir of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we have the visitation of the angel with Joseph. Now we're going to look at the visitation of the angel with Mary. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. And when the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So let's go to the shepherds, chapter 2 of Luke. In chapter 2 of Luke, you look at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be this sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there with an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Amazing. Unbelievable. The visitation of angels. The Bible speaks of guardian angels. It also speaks that we have visitation of angels that are unaware. And for the time in the church in America, and I believe churches probably all over the world, they were fixated with angels. Everything was about angels. Yes, angels are amazing spiritual beings, agents of God, messengers of God. And today the scripture says we were created a little lower than the angels, but someday we will stand in judgment of the angels. We are free moral beings. We have an ability to choose, and the angels do not. We as children of God are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. They are not. We do not die and become angels. So listen to me. There is no higher calling than being called a child of the Most High God. There is no higher calling. Because you have that ability to choose of whether you're going to accept Jesus or whether you are not. They are created beings as agents to do His bidding. I'm not downgrading the perspective of angels, because I believe in the power that angels provide, that they do provide a covering for us. It says that we have our own guardian angel. But in today, I want to reveal to you, as amazing and as awesome as it would be to be visited by an angel, can you imagine? Can you imagine you wake up and all of a sudden there's an angel in the ceiling of your bedroom and you're talking to this angel and this angel is talking to you? How amazing that would be. And no matter how amazing that would be, you have something better. You have something better. I want to point out three ways the Lord encourages us on a daily basis if we are tapped into them or connected to them. Number one, the promises of God's Word. The Scripture tells us God's Word is pure, it is without error. This promise book I'm holding here has 335 pages. It averages 4 promises per page. That is 1,340 promises that are just in this book. Matthew 28:20 says, I am always with you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel, God with us. Romans 38:38-39, nothing can separate us from the love of God. There are over 365 references in the Bible to not fear, one for every day. The church today is weak. It's because the body of Christ is not tapped into and not connected to the Word of God. That's where the weakness is that we are not connected to the Word of God. We're not tapped into the Word of God. Are you, as a saint today, are you getting involved in the Word of God every day of your life? You should be, because if you're not, you're going to be weaker in your faith, and you're going to be weaker in your walk every day. Who are you? You're a Christian. What does a Christian do? They live their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden this becomes very important in our walk for the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is our map. This is our map for life that we live in today. That I am a follower of Jesus. This teaches me how I can draw closer and that I should draw closer. Turn with me to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." I heard a minister say a couple weeks ago, it doesn't make a Bible sword just because it's sitting on your living room coffee table. It doesn't make your Bible a sword because it's sitting on your nightstand. You could own a Bible factory, but that doesn't make the Bible a sword. The Bible becomes a sword when we are walking and proclaiming through the Spirit of God. To the world, the Bible is just a book. That's all it is. But to the child of God, it is powerful. It is a powerful weapon of truth. It's living and it's alive. It's living in the hearts of the believer today. Is the Word of God living in your heart? Is the Word of God living and it's alive in your life, every day of your life, and you're connected to the Word of God? We need to be. Now turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. In John 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Jesus is the living Word of God. The Greek word here for Word in this portion of Scripture is logos. Jesus is the living Logos of God. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, because I'm going to show you a comparison. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, "And he answered and said, it is written." Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." The Greek word for word here is rhema, meaning what? The proclaimed word. Are you proclaiming God's word daily from your life? Now read Matthew chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 through 11. "And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So the living Logos of God was speaking the rhema of God. You see how it's important, how much is important for you to proclaim the word of God out of your lives. What did Jesus say? When you look at the mountain, you tell the mountain to be moved. There's too many things that we are battling in our life and that surrounds our life that we are battling, but that we're not speaking the word of God into. Because we need to speak the word of God. Because we stand on the word of God, we proclaim the word of God. And because we proclaim the word of God, we're speaking the word of God into that situation. Where is the victory going to come? The victory is going to come from our relationship through the Lord Jesus, through his written word for each and every one of us today. Mountain, you've got to be moved. I'm saying the name and the word of God that it has to be moved, and I'm standing on the word of God, so it will be moved. There's too many times we're not standing on the word of God. The word of God is without error. It is pure. So what did Jesus say? Word will pass away. Word will never pass away. The word is something that I can depend on. You can't depend on the Democrats. You can't depend on the Republicans. You can't depend on any of the politicians. Where's our dependence? Are you depending on the stock market? Are you depending on your 401k? Who is your provider? Is 3M your provider? Is Rollscreen your provider? Is Pellicorp your provider? God is my provider. And we need to remember in our relationship as a child of God, who I am in Christ Jesus, that I am an heir and I am a joint heir with the Lord Jesus. This word is for me. This word is for you because of your relationship that you have with Jesus. The world does not have a relationship with Jesus. This word means nothing to them. It's not a living Bible. It's just a book. But to us, we are the children of God, have come into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, this is the living word of life that we can trust and anchor our lives into today. He goes on to say in verse 4, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I have given you, if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, him only shall you serve. And then what happened? Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And what did Jesus use to defeat the adversary? The word of God. What did we say a couple weeks ago? You can't fix something that's spiritual in the physical. You can't fix something spiritual in the physical. And so many times we're trying to throw all these physical things at them, thinking we're going to correct this and we're going to do this, when we need to be thinking in the Spirit and we need to be using the Word of God against that. Jesus used the Word of God against the adversary. If you're facing temptation in your life, what do? You use the Word of God. You speak the Word of God into that situation. Proclaiming the word of God, rhema. Many times we will read silently, we will read to ourselves. You know, sometimes we just need to go into the back corner and say, Satan, I tell you right now, you need to get out of my face. I am a child of God and I'm going to stand on the truth of the word. See, you might as well take a hike because you got nothing, you got no business here because I'm going to have nothing to do with you. What did Eve do? Eve talked to sin. You don't talk to sin. You don't visit with sin. You don't play with the idea of sin. You don't toy with it. What does the scripture say? It says we need to resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee from you. Jesus resisted the adversary by the word of God. Feel beat down, discouraged, started wielding the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Did Jesus use it as a sword? He most certainly did. He picked it up. This is the word against you, Satan. Proclaim the word into the situation. Say to that mountain, it needs to be moved. That's when the Bible becomes a sword. We said three ways today the Lord encourages us together that is better than an angel. Number one is the word of God. Number two is the Spirit of God. The people of the day of the Nativity would have had a very limited access to the word, and it would have been just parts of the word. Today, you hold it all in entirety to fit any need you may have or face. The second one is the Spirit, the indwelling and the infilling of the Spirit. We receive the indwelling of the Spirit when we accept Christ. We receive the infilling of the Spirit or baptism of the Holy Spirit. How? By asking. By asking. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and it will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I received your Spirit when I received you as my Lord and Savior. I know that Jesus is not only with me, he is in my life. But Jesus, I need to be empowered. I need to be empowered to witness. I need to be empowered to live my life stronger for you as a testimony to other people. God, I want you to use me. God, fill me with your Spirit. Because his word says all we got to do is ask. And we're not asking enough. So many times we say, well, that's just for the preacher, that's just for the teacher, or that's just for special people. You know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one of those special people. Ask him. Ask him. Evidence by speaking in tongues. To receive power, to witness, to testify, to share the gospel, to minister gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Now turn with me to John chapter 7. Excuse me. John 7, verse 37. So John 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, John chapter 7, verse 37, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now listen to the words. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What is Jesus telling us here? Throughout the Old Testament, no believer had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The examples that we have in the Old Testament is that the Spirit of God would come down and rest upon them for a specific task or a mission. But as soon as that task or that mission was complete, the Holy Spirit would lift back off of them. Today, because Jesus has been glorified, the Holy Spirit has come. So when we look at the disciples, how were the disciples saved? They were saved by faith of the law, because Jesus was with them and Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, that's what's better than an angel, is the Spirit of God that dwells within your life. I don't have to have an angel come and see me. I don't have to have an angel come and visit me. I have the living Word of God, and I have the Spirit of God that dwells within my life. That's more powerful than any angel. And you have that. Are you listening to it? Are you praying about it? Are you seeking the Spirit's guidance in your life? God wants to change your life if you will listen to Him. He changed mine. He changed countless lives. He's in the life-changing business. So when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus, Jesus says, I will not only be with you, I will be in you. Now turn with me to John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Any one of these portions of Scripture could have been a sermon all within itself. But in John chapter 14, verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and what? And will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another. You see the word another. Well, then, if there is another, who was the other? Jesus was the other, because Jesus was with them. He says, I'm going to give you another. Why? Because I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to go and sit at the right-hand side of the Father, and I'm going to intercede for anyone as a high priest for those that come to know me as their Lord and Savior. So I'm not going to be here, but I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send another, and another is the presence of the Holy Spirit. He would be leaving, but another would be sent, the Holy Spirit, to indwell and to empower us in our walk with Him. Can you think about it? If you think about it just for a moment, just kind of as a joke, can you think about the angel union in heaven? And the angels are all sitting around complaining because the Holy Spirit has done so much, they don't have near as much to do. Why? Because they've taken all of our job. Because now the believers have the presence of the Holy Spirit that's not only with them, but in them. That's something better. That's something better than an angel. We don't need to have an angel to tell us when the Holy Spirit is leading us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Yes, we do have something better to encourage us on a daily basis. The Word, His Spirit. But there's one more thing. And that's the body of Christ. You and I encouraging each other in the ministry of exhortation. That's everybody. Every day you come here, or every Sunday, you come here because you're a part of the ministry team at Crossroads Gospel Church. You're a part of the ministry team at Crossroads Gospel Church. Because you're going to greet people, you're going to smile at people, you're going to shake their hands, and they're going to feel the love of God that is through you. Remember we talked about 2 weeks ago, we don't all drive white trucks, we don't all drive red cars, we don't all drive blue pickups. Our connection is not that. Our connection is the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. Because my spirit that dwells within my life connects with your spirit, and our spirit connect to the Spirit of God. So that's our connection. People need to feel that connection with you in the house of the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. It's my very last scripture today. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as if the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, the day is approaching. The coming of the Lord is coming. And we're just on the dawn of that day. Exhortation, to lift up, to encourage, to urge. Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day. and this time together. And we pray that, Father, your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And we pray that as we leave this place, that, Father, you would bless us. And that, Father, each and every one of us felt the stirring of your presence in our lives today. And we today give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.